And I thank you for having us tonight. I want to thank you for your support this past year. And you know what? God is just blessing Peru. I'll give you a short report before we get into the word. We have a ministry in Peru through our church with the children that a couple missionaries started, and they left after a couple years, and we were asked to take it over. And the first couple years, we were just kind of back and forth, up and out, once or twice a month, and off and on. And then all of a sudden, a miracle happened, and my wife got pregnant, which wasn't supposed to happen. And we got a miracle child, and now she's 3 years old. And we are so much involved today in Pukosana. And the pastor's going to have some videos, and when he can get the system working the way it's supposed, he'll show some as time goes on throughout the year. And I have another two, actually, that I will email to you. And God has just started this church, as I said, a few years ago. And he started with children. A couple of missionaries from Saskatchewan came through the POC and had a burden for children because they had children of their own. And they started out in Pukosana. That's where God led them. So we also, the church that we're with, who are under the covering of the Assemblies of God of the United States, we went ahead with them and we tried to do what we could. And all of a sudden, all these funds started coming. Like the Korean church, the churches in Ontario, the Pentecostal churches down in the Assemblies of God churches down in the States. This money started coming in, and we were able to build this building, 800 meters square, the first building, the first floor, which is serving right now as a resource center, as our youth center, as our church, as whatever we need it, that's what it's for. And in Pukosana, in a lot of places where we're focused on, there's no lights, there's no water, so much abuse, and the children, a lot of them are not living with their moms or dads. They don't even know who their moms and dads are. They've been taken away from them because of the abuse. They're living with their grandparents, they're living with their uncles, their aunts, and even there's abuse. And God is little by little changing that area through you, through this church and many other churches in Canada. God is changing the lives of many of those children. And through those 50 children, it's growing and growing and growing. And the parents, the people who they call parents, who are taking care of them, wondering, what's going on? Like, you guys come back, you're happy on a Sunday, you come back, you're happy, you're not hungry, you seem so content. So eventually, little by little by little, those people started coming out, the caretakers, the caregivers, or whatever you would call them, no? They start coming, and we just call them parents. The parents just start coming, and little by little, they started coming to know the gospel through the teaching that we were teaching the children. Just little by little by little. Today, about, I guess, 5 years later, we have about 250 in total of children, youth, and grown-ups. They're the people who are taking care of them in our church. Baptized in waters, a lot of them filled with the Holy Spirit. And God is just moving throughout that place. And God is continually giving. People from out of nowhere comes to help. And just before I came back, I met with my pastor, the senior pastor of the church. And he said, Dean, when you come back, he said, I want you guys to focus on this area like we've never focused before. He said, I know you guys are busy. I know you guys are busy doing what God has called you here within this church and within this area of Lima. But we would really desire that you would focus more in Pukosana. And like, God just confirmed it, because myself and my wife were talking about having to talk to Pastor Saul to see what he thought of that. And before we even spoke to him about it, he spoke to us. And our problem was trying to find a way to get back and forth. We don't have a car. We don't have the money to get a car. And we were thinking at the end of the year, when we look at our finances and see how things are going in 2020, maybe we'd be able to find a way to buy a car. I could do some taxiing in the nighttime from the airport and pay for the car, and then we would be able to minister in the daytime, go to Pukusana, because it's kind of dangerous traveling on the buses. I've been in 3 different accidents taking the buses in the street, in the coasters or the combis, because you gotta understand, like, you have your seats in those little travel vans that was normally comfortably seat maybe 20 people or 25 max. But when people are getting off work and when people are going to work, literally, people are hanging out through the door. Literally. The door is not even closed. And I've been in 3 different accidents in the time I've been in Peru, and I don't get on them no more. So if I don't have the money for a taxi, I don't go. But now taxis are not what they are here in Canada either. It's very cheap to take a taxi. A couple of dollars gets you a long, long way. But so this year, when we go back, it's going to be 100% Pukusana. And you guys have been the people who have helped us get this far, to get the church going this far, and to see the lives of the people changed so much. Matt, you should use ¿por qué no hecho la translation para ella? Por favor, poquito, bien. Él habla bien, ¿verdad? Sí, poquito. The significance of what I'm saying, no? He speaks better than what I do. I've been there 18 years. He was there for a year or so, and he speaks better than me. So anyhow, God is just doing some great things in Peru. And again, I know I'm your missionary. I've just started. It's been 2 or 3 years? Or 2? 2 years. This is the 3rd year kind of now, no? Okay, well, we're going into the 3rd. Okay. We're getting there. We're going to have 3 years up soon. Eventually, we'll have 3 years, no? Eventually. So, anyhow, and I want to thank you because you guys have been a part of Pukusana these past 2 years. It's completed, no? And I want to thank you for that. We have, in our church, anyone that was not here the last time I was here, we have 6 services each Sunday in our main church. There's 1,000 people that comes in at 7 in the morning. And when 8:30 comes, there's 1,000 people leaving and another 1,000 coming. That's how we do it all day long, coming and going, 1,000 people. Well, at the 12:30, 1 o'clock service, we only have about maybe 600 people, but that's because these are the people who probably worked till 3 in the morning, and they had another 2 hours to ride on bus to get there. That's the way it is in Peru. But God is doing great things. We have about 7 churches, I think, in all the different suburbs, I guess you would call it, the suburbs of the different areas of Peru, of Lima, and so different. Just like 45 minutes away from the main city of San Isidro, the business area, like kind of like the Wall Street of New York, you know, the Wall Street of Peru, San Isidro, there's so much poverty. The kids are in so much need, but our churches in those areas are reaching out to them and giving them those resource centers that we're giving to the people in Pukusana. There's full-time pastors in each one of our churches. And our church goes from month to month. You say, you got 6,000 people in your church, you should be able to have a little bit of money on hand to give it to the missionary that's there from Canada. You know what? It's from month to month. We have over 7 or 8 churches. This building is huge, and we even got another building now since Matthew have come home. And we're renting, then we're buying, and the money that's coming in there is just paying the bills. And like, we're only getting the minimum wage in Peru is $900 soles each month, which is divided by 2.35. That's all we get now for our Canadian dollar. We used to get 2.55, but right now the Canadian dollar's gone way down, and we've lost a lot of support because of the rates that up and down. And to get the money, it also costs us. But God is still doing great things. God is doing mighty things there. And I want to thank you for your support. My wife's a dentist. You guys have heard me say that before. And she always tells me, don't tell anyone I'm a dentist because they won't give you any money in Canada. Because dentists makes lots of money in Canada. Well, that's not the way it is in Peru. You get your braces here, it's going to cost you $5,000 or $6,000. In Peru, it costs you $1,500, for example. To get a tooth out, you pay $15. To get a filling, it's $20. So you're talking about petty cash when you're talking about a dentist here. And my wife, we have a portable clinic, and her staff with her, we go to Pukosana, and we give the children the needs of their dental needs. Then we go up another time, and we work with the youth, and then we go another time, and the parents come, and we take care of their teeth. And God is blessing them in all different areas. And our focus also, I was in Winnipeg last year to make a connection with School of Tomorrow. I'm not sure if you've ever heard of that, but it's homeschooling, H-O-M-E, home, 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 home. I don't pronounce my H's. Home schooling, okay? And they're willing to come alongside in Pukosana, and they want to really get into it. There's a lot of paperwork yet, because in Peru, you don't just fill out a form. You fill out a million forms, and that's a fact. There's paper for everything. If you want to go to the doctor, there's a list of papers this month you fill out before you see the doctor. It's just crazy. But when things get all legalized and when we get the permissions that we need to get and everything's done, we will be starting a school as well, a day school, because there's some kids that are going to school from Pukosana that we're working with, but there's some that's not going because they don't have the money to go. Even the national schools down there that's free, you still got to pay so much in order to enter and so much for the things that you need when you get there. But you don't pay for schooling, but just the money that you need to get in there. They don't have. So we want to start this school for the children and maybe for the just up to grade one or something, just to try first from kindergarten to grade one or preschool, and just to see how it can go, because you got to be qualified to different qualifications when it comes to doing that in those types of areas with the government. That could change tomorrow. Who knows? No one knows Peru. But God is doing great things. To sum it all up, God is doing great things there. And we're seeing 25 people a service. In those 6,000, that church, we get 6,000 people, six services a Sunday. We see 25 people minimum coming to Jesus Christ as their Savior in each service. So do the math, four Sundays. By that, I'm not a mathematician. You guys do it. On Wednesdays, we get about maybe 500 or 600 to prayer meeting, which is not a lot when you consider we get 6,000 people out on a Sunday, okay? 600 here is a lot of people to come to a prayer meeting. But we get about 600 out, and in those prayer meetings, people who don't know Jesus Christ as their Savior come and give their lives to Him. And in a prayer meeting, we see 5 or 6, sometimes 10 people come to Christ. It's amazing. And God is doing great things. We have like kind of like what we would call in Canada a YC, but we have it for a week. And we have those kids for a week from Sunday to Friday. And they're just going at it, and just God is just blessing them. And we see hundreds of young people come to Christ in those events. So God is doing great things. Not only in Africa and Hindi and all over in that area, but God is doing things in South America. And when we met last year, I think I was here last year in May as well. Yeah, that's because we were in May. We had a conference in B.C. And Sydney, B.C., we had a missionary conference, a world missionary conference with the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada. And we all met in Sydney, a beautiful little place. And they treated us like kings and queens, the Ed guys at the PLC. They treated us so beautiful and gave us, and we were kind of like a retreat and just rest and relaxed. And one lady asked me today, actually in Vernon, she said, "Do you ever stay in Peru?" Because she's seen me so much last year, and now she's seen me again. I said, "You know," I said, "if I didn't have to come back and raise my support, I'd stay in Peru." I said, "I'm not here because I want to be. Pardon me. You know, I'm glad to see you all, okay? But I'm not here because I want to come back all these times to raise support. But we raise 100% of the support, my salary that we live on, our working budget, everything that we need, we got to raise 100% of it. And that's what that table there for is. Everything that we sell off of that table goes to the children in Pukosana. Nothing comes to me. Every cent that I got to give it to the office in Ontario, the Western Ontario District. That's who I'm ordained through. And that goes to them. And then at the end of the month, if there's enough money there for my salary, I will get it. Okay? It came close a couple months ago. I almost never had it for the first time in 18 years. But God took care of it. It all worked out. At the last moment, someone felt to give that extra couple that I needed. But God is, that's what the table is all about. And some of you guys already bought some stuff there, but you guys got change back from it. So, you know, you guys got some more money in your pocket as well. I know that. I can smell it. A missionary can smell money, okay? You know, they can almost see your bank account, almost. But buy some more things. No, 3 for 1. It's never been that cheap. 3 things for the price of 1, okay? Entonces, I forgot my word in English. Pardon me. So now let's go into the word. But before I do, is there any questions about Peru? Is there anything that you would like to know? Like that lady this morning wanted to know how come I was back here so much. Because I was here 3 times last year. And we were blessed because I was home in March as well last year. We were blessed. Someone gave us a ticket and we went home to spend it with my mom and dad actually. But is there anyone got a question about anything? It's now or never. Okay, let's go to John chapter 12. John chapter 12 tonight. I do have a Bible, but I need to print my Bible that I read off in my notes because the words are too small for me. I need a bigger Bible, need a bigger print. But in my study time, I do have my Bible, I promise you. John 12, 12 to 19. The next day, the crowd that had come for the festival heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it as it is written. "Do not be afraid, daughter Zion. See, your king is coming and seated on a donkey's colt." At first, his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that these things had been done to him. Now the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread that word to many people because they had heard that he had performed this sign without to meet him. So the Pharisees said to one another, "See, this is us getting nowhere. This is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him." God, we thank you today because all the world has gone after you. They're running to you, Lord. Many are running to you. Many have gotten their peace through your name. But there's still so many out there, Lord, right here, Lord, in this little town of our city, Lord, that still need you. And God, by your Holy Spirit tonight, maybe they're not here, but God, that you will speak to their hearts wherever they are tonight. And so many may have been here. They may have served you and worshiped you right here in this building before, but yet tonight they find themselves away from you. Tonight, Lord, we ask you that you will reach out, speak to their lives, and bring them in. Because, Lord, before too long, we know that you're coming. God, I pray today that you would take my life and use it for you. I am nothing. I'm absolutely nothing without your presence and your anointing, Lord. I want nothing to do with flesh, but all with your presence and anointing today. Take me, use me for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Thousands, I got to tell you this. You know, one pastor, he used to be the guy that done my accounting when we used to have our nonprofit ourselves. He said, "If something comes in your mind, whether it's got anything to do with your sermon or not, say it because it's the Holy Spirit." But you know what? Last year we were in Glovertown, Newfoundland. And there was a man home in his house. He was very much serving Jesus Christ at one point in his life. He wouldn't at church. We were on the table. We were selling all of our things. And the Lord spoke to him. And he said, "You need to go to the church. You need to go to the bank first." And he told him, he said, "You need to get $500 and you need to bring it to that missionary. You need to make things right with me." And that's exactly what he did. He said, "That guy is going to be leaving 10:15. And he said, "If you don't get there before that," he said, it's too late." This guy got in his car. He went to the bank. He took out the $500. He came running in, rushing, and the guy, my buddy that was with me, Wilson, he's a Southern gospel singer, and we have a good time together, and he does all of his singing when we're traveling. He said, the guy said, "Where's the missionary? Where's the missionary?" He said, "We're about to go." He said, "We got the last bag in." And Wilson looked at his watch. It was 10:15. And he said, "Well, go in there. He's in there." So he came in. He gave me the handful of 20s. And I said, "Let me get your name so I can give you a receipt." "No, I don't want no receipt. I don't want no. Just take it. I don't care what you do with it." He said, I need to make things right with Jesus Christ. So God can do the same. I wish he did. And I pray that he will before the service is over. But God then can do the same thing here as he done there last year. God can speak to people in their homes even now as we're sitting here enjoying his presence. So I encourage you with that word. And the word that Adam gave, witness with my spirit, bless you. Pastor Adam, actually, yeah. For thousands of years, the Jewish people had been looking for a Messiah. They were properly expecting a great military leader, one who would overthrow all of their enemies and restore Israel to its former greatness and glory. What they didn't expect was that their king would appear as a carpenter, that they never expected he would possess no weapons. They didn't expect him to have no army or a political power. And they really never knew that he would be crucified on the cruel cross of their oppressors. However, throughout the earthly life of Jesus, they were given evidence on top of evidence that Jesus was who he said he was. He proved his identity time and time again. And did you preach it this morning? Awesome. Imagine the Holy Spirit. His miracles, proven by his people, the place of his birth, and signs and wonders too many to mention. You know, they refused to believe that he was in fact the Messiah. Time and time again, he revealed his truth unto them. And time and time again, they rejected him. So much so that John put it this way, came unto his own, and his own received him not. That is, Jesus came to his own people. To his own people. Like you going to your own family. His own people. And they refused to have him. Imagine, family. These guys were the family of Jesus, those Jewish people. Imagine going to your family, and they not receiving you. And maybe many have felt that. Maybe many in this city or this town have gone through that. Maybe you yourself, I don't know you. Maybe you yourself have experienced something like that. But when the Romans saw Jesus riding on that donkey, it was probably all looking like a joke to them. You know, many of the Jews probably wondered why this king would be riding in on a lowly donkey. After all, why wouldn't he be on a powerful, strong, great horse? The King of Kings. He's supposed to be the King of Kings. They figured he was supposed to have the best of everything. But Jesus came riding in on a donkey. And that's the way it was. Then that showed great power, no? The crowd, the disciples, did not understand the importance of what they were witnessing. However, the crowd rejoiced greatly. O daughter of Zion, shout, O daughter of Jerusalem, behold, the king cometh unto thee, is just, and having salvation, lowly, and riding upon a donkey. And when they saw Jesus entering that city this particular day, they knew, would exactly know that the things that were happening. And Jesus presented himself as the prophet had said he would. He came as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he's here tonight. Jesus Christ is here tonight. I don't care if it's just a few people. I've been to different churches when my brother first went into the ministry in Newfoundland. He had a church with four people. And he stood up as if there was a million in the place. And a few people don't scare me, because a few people are the faithfuls. You are praying for this community, this city, this town, for Christ to touch the hearts, to bring them in. Jesus presented himself as the King of the Jews on the exact day when the prophet said he would. Simply stated, Jesus came as the King. He did exactly what God had said he would do. And the people who saw Jesus entering the city understood the implications of what he was doing. Therefore, they cried, Hosanna. And in light of his miracles, most notable that of raising Lazarus from the dead, and because of his public appeal, the people thought that Jesus would be the one who would overthrow the Roman government. And these people were looking for a ruler, yet how fickle they were, because in just 5 days, some of these same people would cry out, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. Why they expected him to come as a king, they never expected him to die. When it became apparent over the next few days that Jesus would overthrow Rome, that would not overthrow Rome, these same people who cheered him turned to him and rejected him. Jesus himself demonstrated that he was the King of the Jews. He came to his own, just as the prophets had said, just as we finished saying, and his own received him not. Those words and those scripture we read today paints a clear picture of why this king came into the world. He came to die. His ministry here was not about preaching the miracles or the disciples. His entire life was centered around the day he would climb Calvary's hill and be nailed to the cross for the sins of this world. For mine, for yours, and he died for me. And the sins of my life was many. And he had to get his hands dirty when he... We say in Newfoundland, when he saved me, he had to push away the muck and the mire and pull me up because I was sinking fast. And that's what he had to do with a lot of our lives, because we're so far from God. And a lot of us don't know that. A lot of us don't know that part of our life, which is best. Your best testimony anyone can stand and say is, I've never been a part of that. God kept me away from that. That's the best thing anyone can say. But I thank God that he rescued me and he brought me back. I was raised in a Christian home, in a Christian family. All my family in ministry, the whole lot of them. But I was the oddball. And I was running. And I was losing real quick. Drug addict, alcoholism, trafficking drugs, stealing, problems with the law and the justice, being picked up for shoplifting, and waking up not knowing it was next to me, and just a terrible lifestyle. But God, in the month of November 1987, I was in a hotel room in St. John's, Newfoundland, First City Motel. I'll never forget the place. It's not there anymore. And I was laying there in bed waiting for some things that weren't supposed to happen, but because I was not a Christian, they were going about to happen. But God spoke to my heart. The Holy Spirit spoke to my heart, something I haven't felt for years, because I've been very cold, because I wanted nothing to do with the God of my family. And I pulled out the drawer, and there was a Gideon's Bible there in the drawer, and I thought about as some of the words from the song tonight. And I've turned the Bible, and I opened it up to Psalms 139, where can I go from your presence? And it goes on to say, you're fearfully, you're wonderfully made, you're knitted together in your mother's womb. I've called you. Jeremiah 1, 5 to 10. That same, very same night, my mom was laying across the bed, not knowing where I was, because I used to go away from home, and sometimes I'd leave in the middle of the night, and they didn't even know, but I was upstairs, asleep in my own room. And that night, my mom was laid across the bed, seeking God on my behalf, crying tears for my soul. And she opened the Bible to, God said, open the Bible to Jeremiah 1. Look at those verses. Before I formed him, I created him, a prophet to the nations. That I will uphold him, I will keep him, I will be with him. And then my mom read that, and the words of those that passage jumped out at her, and she read it so many times before. But that night when I was in St. John's, about 4.5 hours away driving, When I was reading Psalms 139, she was reading Jeremiah 1, 5 to 10. And there was a connection there. Because from that night until May 15, 1988, I was convicted by the power of the Holy Spirit, wanting to come to Jesus Christ. At one point in one part of my life, I did have an experience, but it didn't last very long. I'm wanting to come back to Christ, but because of my life, because of how bound and oppressed and possessed by the demons and the devils of hell, I thought there was no opportunity. I thought I had crossed the line. I thought that I had said no to God too many times. And in between those few months, from November 87 to May 88, I'm telling you, Satan had a great time with my life. Those things that happened in my life during that period of time, you could not even imagine it. The awful, terrible, disgusting perversion that I was involved in. You could not even imagine it with your own mind. You can think of the sickest thing, and it wouldn't even come close to it. And Satan tried to pull me under, so much so that the 15th of May, 1988, I wrote my suicide note. And I said, this is it. There's no more use. There's no more hope. I know there's no way I can keep on going. So to save you from any more hurt, goodbye. I would take my own life. And I left my house that night to go to the Trans-Canada Highway to have a collision with another person to take someone else's life as well. And on the way to the Trans-Canada Highway, I met a man. And it wasn't a man in a car. It was a man, Christ Jesus, who came on a donkey, who rode as a donkey, who came and was born in a manger, a stable, not a five-star Hilton hotel. I've stayed in them because people have given me room to stay there. But he didn't get born there, out behind the hotel in a stable. He came like that, and he was crucified on the cross for me. So that night, May 15th, 1988, he'd be able to change my life and make me whole again. And during that time, he reminded me of a vision that he gave me when I was just a little boy that had passed my mind for a bit. And I was laying there on the floor, and I went through a deliverance that night. I was possessed by the demons of hell, and as Satan manifested himself, God delivered me and set me free. And I don't know, you guys know Max Obrecken, but that's who was there that night, and God used him to deliver, used him as an instrument that received my deliverance. And from that day to this, I'm telling you, I was so hooked on cigarettes. I was so hooked on drugs. I was such an alcoholic and everything else. But I got up the next morning and I thought, wow, this is what it's like to be sober? Where have I been all my life? I was 21 then, I think it was. 21 or 22, I'm not sure exactly. I'm 52 now, so you guys work it out. October 21st, I was born, 66. But anyhow, God changed my life. But if it wasn't for the crucifixion, I'd been a lost soul. We'd be all lost tonight. Jesus is interested in drawing men unto himself. And before he died, many came to him in faith. However, Jesus tells us that by his death on the cross, many would be drawn to him. There's something very compelling about the cross. When it finally dawns on the lost sinner that Jesus hung there for them, when the Spirit of God makes this clear, then it is no longer a foolish thing. It's not a crazy thing. It is no longer a thing to be scoffed and mocked at. But it becomes a thing of great power and amazement. To think that God would endure death to save such a terrible, awful, sick, perverted, disgusting person as me. This is almost more than what my mind can comprehend. And if God can do that to my life, I can guarantee you, if any of you here tonight got sons or daughters or maybe fathers or mothers that are so far from God, nothing is impossible. I don't care how hard your son is, how hard your daughter is. I don't care how far they're gone. I don't care what they've done. God can reach down and make a life for them and change them forever and ever. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You know, Paul experienced the power of God, as well as so many other apostles and disciples in Scripture. As we read the Scripture, we read of so many lives that were changed, people that were raised from the dead, as Lazarus. God can change our lives today. It's possible Dios cambiar la vida de su familia, su amigo, su todo. Porque el poder es fuerte. Tú sabes esto. El poder de Dios. They've rejected his message. These Jews still had trouble grasping the truth that the Messiah, while he would be a great leader and conqueror of their enemies, had to first taste of death for every person. And people still reject him. People still don't want to hear about the cross. People still don't want to hear the word, the blood of Christ, that changes lives forever. For too many, they feel they can do good works, be religious, or do something to commend themselves to the Lord. But in truth, we all know nothing can happen only through the blood of Jesus Christ. To realize we are a sinner and we need to come to him in faith and accept him into our lives and give him our everything. That's the only way we're going to be able to look upon the face of Jesus Christ when he returns. People hear the gospel the same as they heard it back then. And they say, I will not have, and they say back then, you know, I will not have this man to rule over me. And when they do this, they are rejecting the holy hope they have for salvation. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus Christ, he is the way, the truth, the life, and no man cometh to the Father but through him, by him. You know, we can reject him if that's our desire. But when we do, remember we're rejecting heaven, salvation, eternal hope and life. Today God is here to comfort you, to help you to understand that he can do anything. Maybe tonight you're here and you're hard as a rock. You're in smet like Pastor Adam had spoken earlier. God can take that hard heart, that smet, that ice cold freezing thing that's been bottled up for years and break it and give you loose and make you loose tonight. And maybe you've already responded to the call as Adam spoke. Jesus today clearly proved himself to be the Messiah, but yet the people still refuse to hear or see the truth. All around are those who have been made whole by the simple faith in Jesus. Yet many love their sin more than their own lives and refuse to look at him. There are storms. There are some going through so many storms and people, they don't know what to do. There are some who say they have been healed but still live like they are sick. Jesus promises those who receive him that they can that can see God. If any man wants to meet God, he will do so only through the person of our Jesus. Jesus Christ, our King. He's promised all those who believed on him that they would be free from the darkness, the sin, and the shame that they experience away from him. I want you to know today that Jesus and Jesus alone has the power to break the chains of death, to break the chains of hell that binds us, to break the chains of hell that bound me from head to toe. I will never forget that night. I don't know why. I never, to be truthful, I preached this one this morning too, Pastor, in Vernon. But I've said different things than I said in Vernon tonight, haven't I, guys? That's what God does. Different things for different people. I never said nothing about my life this morning, my testimony, I don't think. But God, you know, I was bound by chains. I was bound from head to toe. I couldn't even see through. But I will never forget that night God set me free. I thought, wow, where have I been all my life? You just got to experience to understand it, don't you? You guys have experienced it. We know what we're talking about tonight. And I remember getting up in the morning, looking through my bedroom window and looking out, and the rocks, even the rocks looked like they were bright diamonds. It looked so clear, because I was, for the first time in my life, in years, completely sober. I was always half, they used to call me Half-On, H-A-L-F-O-N, Half-On, is it? Half-On, because I was always stoned, or always drinking, or like, I used to go through the hallways in my school, completely out of it. People, I was so popular because I was so bad. I'd go out for our recess time and smoke up a joint. I'd go out lunchtime and pour a bottle of vodka in my Coke. I was always out of it. How I made it through school? I don't want to tell you that. You know how I made it through school doing those kinds of things. Not the right way. But God took my life, and God called me when I was just a little boy. I will never forget it, way back there. But yet I went through all those things because Satan wanted to destroy my life, and he didn't want me to be a part of what was happening in Peru today. He didn't want this ministry, he didn't want you to be a part of all those lives coming to Jesus Christ with the support that you give. He knew where God was going to bring me. He knew what God was going to do for me. He knew what God was going to do for you. He knew how I was going to meet, and it wasn't a coincidence. Nothing happens coincidental. And you know, I got a call from the pastor in Chauvin, Alberta last night. And he said, "Where are you?" I remember him because you look just like him, Pastor. He said, "Where are you?" I said, "I'm in B.C. at the pastor's house. I'm preaching in Vernon tomorrow morning." He said, "What about Chauvin?" I said, "I'm going to be there next Sunday morning." "No," he said, "I got you scheduled for this Sunday morning." Can you imagine, the night before? But he didn't call me till 9:30. He should have called me earlier, right? But he done fine. I called him. I felt bad, but I had my schedule. We just somehow, we crossed the cross wires somehow, no? I remember when I just looked at you. But tonight, God is here. This is Palm Sunday. This is the beginning of what's going to take place in the next few days. What have taken place in the next few days. What we think about, what we talk about, what we preach about in the next few days is what have happened. And this is the start of it today. Today, as that starts, at the beginning this day towards up to the day that Christ was crucified, that we will keep him in our hearts, be on guard, because Satan today are pulling people under quicker than you can even imagine. Satan today I see so many people that's been so close to me, so close to Jesus Christ, get mixed up in all these different teachings that Satan has thrown at them today. And they think they're doing fine. They think they're doing well. I can't judge them, but I can only see it by the book. And unless they really, truly got something, all those years they served Christ is going to be in vain. And be careful tonight that you don't get tricked into something. Because Satan is like a sly old fox. We used to say, we used to sing that song in Sunday school. Satan is a sly old fox. If I could catch him, I put him in a box, I lock him up, and I throw away the key for all the tricks he played on me. You guys ever sing that? You guys are gone. I don't know where you guys. You know that one, don't you? Ah, yeah. This, and I'm only 52. And I've sang that one. But we used to sing that, and he is. Satan is a sly old fox. And whatever way, whatever widge, whatever thing, whatever he can get you to look at to cause you to be resentful, whatever he can get you to freeze, he's going to do it. But be careful. Guard your heart today. Guard your heart on this Palm Sunday. And as we go through the week and as we hear so much about Jesus and how he's died for us, and I'm looking forward to next Sunday morning. I can't wait to preach what I got prepared. God is going to be there wherever, whatever, in any situation that you can or will face.